Good morning again, and we have been talking this month about emergency preparedness. It's National Preparedness Month, and joining me this morning from Community Connections is Cara Lundy to give us some ideas about either helping yourself if you're a person who has special needs or some sort of disability or difficulty, and just tips also if perhaps you have a friend or neighbor that may need a little help. Good morning.
Good morning, Maria.
Thanks for being here. And what is your position at Community Connections?
Oh, I wear a bunch of different hats. Probably the most relevant to this conversation is I'm the health and safety coordinator for the organization, and I do a lot of the emergency planning for our facilities. So.
And you're also part of the Ketchikan Volunteer Rescue Squad.
So. I am, and I've been participating on the local emergency planning committee, the LEPC, for a little while now as well.
Okay, and what are some things maybe that we don't think about that we perhaps should think about when an emergency hits?
Well, a lot of it, is in the pre-planning. So, when it comes to people with disabilities and seniors who are living in the community, a lot of it isn't that much different than for the general population. You know, I think a lot of people struggle with thinking about what to do in a disaster. You know, day-to-day life for anyone can be challenging enough, and especially when you're a person who has disabilities or a senior, you may have added just complications to life that you have to think about that take up a lot of time. You know, it may have to do with your disability, may just have to do with the bureaucracies you have to deal with that eat up your time. And so thinking about, those things that may never happen can be really challenging for anybody, really. But it is important to think about, we've been reading a lot about the hurricane, what's been happening down in Texas and Florida and the Caribbean. And some of those stories are really heartbreaking about people who didn't get out, vulnerable people left behind. And so those kinds of stories really haunt me. And so the pre-planning is really important, and having emergency supplies in your home, and then supplies that you can easily take with you if you do need to evacuate quickly. For general population in Alaska, it's a good idea, I think, if you just start by thinking about 3 days worth of supplies. It may not be so overwhelming. Really, for us, though, it's better to think about even more, up to a week's worth of food and water, and then other general supplies. And really, for anyone, extra things that you may think about when it comes to folks who have disabilities or seniors, medications may be really important. So having a 7-day supply of medications, if at all possible, not waiting until the last minute to fill your prescriptions. You don't know when that situation's going to hit. So not waiting until you run out either of prescriptions or battery power and your mobility devices to charge them, or having backups to things. It's important. It can also be really difficult for people to get. Some medications, it's really hard to get extra supplies, so recognizing that as well. Or it may be really hard to have backups for your mobility devices. But, thinking about what if the power went out for an extended period and I couldn't charge my electric wheelchair, do I have a way to get around if that battery goes dead? Do I have a manual wheelchair that someone can use to help me get from place to place if I don't have power for an extended period? Extra details like that.
Something that was suggested the other day was that you should have a landline, because if the phone goes out, you aren't necessarily going to have access to a cell phone or something. And I don't know how many people even have those anymore, but if you do have a landline, you can generally call out. Usually the phone is still functioning. It's just you run out of power.
Even if the power goes out, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's certainly not a bad idea. It's becoming less and less common that people have landlines, but it is an additional tool.
And in a way, you don't want to be invasive into other people's lives, but if you have a neighbor who perhaps has a disability, is it a good idea to check in on them? Or is that, you know, people want to be independent, so you don't want to, you know, step on them, so to speak. But in the event of emergency, is it appropriate, I guess, to check in, probably check in on anyone?
Yeah, I mean, I think regardless of whether the person is part of a vulnerable population, you know, when there's a, you know, when there's a big hardship in the community, if there is a disaster, really neighbors helping neighbors, I think is really important. So checking on your neighbors, and especially if you know that you have someone who may have trouble, you know, getting out if they needed to evacuate. But also, you know, I think part of that pre-planning for a person who does have a disability or a senior who may have trouble getting out on their own, developing a personal support network, you know, talking to, I would say, you know, three people, you know, if don't just leave it just to one person. You know, if that person is not available to come check on you or come help you get out if you did need to evacuate quickly, you know, at least have one backup. But it's even better to have two. So, and talk to those people. So let them know they are your people, you know, that you're ask them if they would be willing to be those people who come and check on you so that someone doesn't assume that someone else has got your back and in the meantime, you know, you're not getting the help that you need, especially if you can't communicate by telephone or in some other way. So developing that support network and talking to those people, and, you know, make sure that somebody has keys to your house if you lock up, then can get in and help you, you know, talk about how are you going to communicate, you know, are they just going to come to your home if you can't call them, where would you meet if, you know, just like a family, emergency plan, where would you meet if you couldn't return home, having a phone, someone who's outside of the community, that you can call and check in with, is a good idea as well. But really having people in the community who can come, that who know that they are your people, that's a big part of the emergency planning. And really that those friends and family, those people who feel most connected to you, that can't be replaced by emergency personnel or, you know, an agency who may care about you, but, you know, whose staff may be overwhelmed by other folks or by their own family members.
And that's good advice really for anyone.
Yeah.
Is make sure that you have a plan, you have contacts, whether it's friends or family, that you know in an emergency we either meet at this place or contact someone to let them know we're okay, mm-hmm. That kind of a thing. Because also in this town, you know, if something happened and say the bridge was washed out, someone may not be able to get to you because they're on the other side of the bridge. So you're having people in various places, different people as contacts, mm-hmm. is a good idea.
Yeah, and thinking about the hazards immediately where you live, you know, do you live right next to Ketchikan Creek? And when it floods, might you need help getting out? You know, those kinds of things.
And earthquakes, I mean, thinking about many different possibilities and having a plan,
mm-hmm.
just having a plan. Are there, before you, you have a planning guide. What is that you brought with you?
So the Department of Health and Social Services, the state of Alaska, put together a guide. It's called Get Ready Alaska's Emergency Preparedness Toolkit for People with Disabilities. And it's full of all kinds of good ideas. I think it's pretty well written. I think it does take a little while to get through, so it can be a little overwhelming. So it might be something to just kind of take a bite out of. You can get them from the state. I've got a bunch of them in my office if anyone wants to contact me and get one. But it's ideas for people with disabilities and their families, to how to build a plan. So, and things to think about. So, you know, aside from what we've already discussed, you know, things like having copies of different types of emergency papers. So So prescriptions, you know, if you weren't able to get your access an electronic health record, for example, that lists all your prescriptions, do you have copies of those most recent prescriptions? Do you have a list of your medications that you can take with you if you had to evacuate? And your medical providers, that kind of information, you know, legal papers that you might need, supply needs if you have special medical supplies. Also something to think about, if you're a person who has difficulty communicating, maybe having written out on a card, that you can show to people, show to emergency responders what the best way to communicate with you is. Yeah, there's just a variety of different types of things to think about ahead of time.
And that's a good point, is having a paper copy of your records, because now everything's electronic. And
yeah.
So if the electricity's down and there's no way to access that electronic copy or whatever it may be, I mean, obviously the hospital would have generators and things, but they mm-hmm. can't necessarily serve everyone checking everybody's records in an emergency. So having your paper copy of prescriptions probably is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And Janalee, are you? Good morning. Janalee Gage joining
phone.
Us. Pardon?
Got caught on the phone.
Yes. Did you have something to add to the conversation?
The awesome need is to have a landline.
Yeah.
I can't stress that enough, is not just having a cell phone, not just having a cordless phone, but an actual plug-in phone that doesn't require electricity. And then know your own abilities, what you can do that for 3 days if somebody can't come, if you rely on other people, what are the things that you're capable of doing? Some things might be more difficult than others, but that you could do safely without causing yourself injury, but at the same time be able to be your own superhero. There's, you know, as a person with a disability, there are limitations to what I can do. However, there's things I know I can do that I'm not going to be calling the emergency staff to come get me because I can't walk up a hill or something. But if I need to get up the hill and there's obstructions and I can't drive, then how am I going to do that without if my current help can't help me, who am I going to ask? So if my husband's not around or my kids aren't around or, you know, my mother can't do it, but say I need to get over to B, who else can I ask? And that's a hard question to ask, because we all consider ourselves independent and we don't want to be, oh, I have, you know, we don't want to throw it in people's face that we have a disability, or we don't want to seem like we're being needy. And I get that, because I'm probably the worst one of it. I will do everything I can before I ask for help. So, but knowing your limitations and knowing, okay, I do need to ask for help and I do need to have somebody. So if I'm alone and I can't do certain things, who am I going to call that I can trust to come get me?
And I think that's good advice really for everyone.
Yeah.
Don't,
you know, assume that because you're able-bodied, you can, you know, do certain things that you've never done before without getting yourself hurt or something.
And the other thing is, there are many, you know, hidden disabilities, so to speak. So someone may have a heart condition. They can't lift up heavy objects, or they can't go for long
climb
things. They can't get over, physically, or you just don't know. You know, they may have a problem with their arms or legs or something. And unless someone says, hey, I'm going to need help if something happens, will you be that person for me?
Yeah. And another thing too, as she was saying about if you have issues with communication, what if you're like knocked out? You need to have that initial information in your purse or on you, especially if there's a big emergency and people are kind of scrambling and something happens and you get where you can't speak for yourself. You need that information on you, so who they can call and or what you want, so that people know don't forget your ID. You know, I have a bag that I used to use as a, it was a computer bag. So in that computer bag, I have a booklet of copies of all of our IDs, social security cards, passports are in there, and information so that if there was something happened at the house, I could just grab it and run. Now I probably should have copies of those somewhere else too, in case something happened to the house, but it's a start. And as those books, you know, it's one thing to at least get started on something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was mentioning earlier how, you know, some of this preparedness stuff can feel really overwhelming to the point where someone just throws up their hands. But, you know, the more that you do, you make your own luck. When the emergency comes. So, you know, if you have 1 day's worth of supplies, it's better than nothing. So, right. So get started somewhere. You know, if you can start with making a copy of your prescriptions, but maybe you don't have copies of all of your documents, you know, just bite out what you can do. Don't get overwhelmed by the huge picture of maybe not having everything perfect.
And what's the one prescription you can't live without? If you have multiple, but you have the one that you have to have to survive, that's the one you want to be paying close attention to, having an extra. If you can get an extra, or I'll tell you a little trick on how to get a little extra. If you get your prescription 5 days earlier, and then you save the 5 pills in the one bottle, and after about 3 or 4 months, you'll have a full prescription. But make sure you use the older ones first and then just rotate. But that's one way of, like I have an extra bottle of thyroid medicine because I did that. I wanted to see if it worked because someone told me that. So I thought, okay, I'll try this. So it's, you know, you're not skipping a day. You're just not, you're picking up your prescription. You have a
few days in advance.
Yeah, you have a few days in window to pick up the prescription. So then you just save those 5 and then you just add into that 5 with the next, do the same thing the following month until you have a full 30 days. And then you rotate the bottle so that you're not saving the old ones. So you always have a fresh bottle. And it doesn't cost you extra to do that. So
they also say, especially here in Alaska, if there is some big, you know, say a big earthquake in the Seattle area, we're going to be cut off from shipping. And so thinking about that of just, it isn't necessarily something that happens here, but it could affect getting supplies here. So thinking of that, of planning for a week or however long.
I know back my grandmother used to do this. She would, because the ships would only come in once a week with supplies, so she would always have extra canned goods down in, you know, in her basement. So even if you go to the store and you buy extra something and like stick it in that cupboard and just put it away, and then again, a lot of things have to be rotated. I found an old can of peas from 1940-something. Not going to test it out. But, you know, those are things that if you keep that pantry kind of – and that's a tough one. I know today everyone's strapped for money, and it's very hard to do that. But there's things that you can – certain food products that actually if you – like flour and sugar and dried eggs, which nobody likes, and dried – but like
– in an emergency, though.
Yeah, powdered milk. You bake with powdered milk, nobody's going to know the difference. I do it all the time. I don't use regular milk, and I use powdered milk because it's cheaper and it's just tastes the same. So.
Okay, well, we're out. We're actually running out of time here. Any last minute thoughts that you wanted to add? Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you so much for being here. And again, as suggested, just start with something little and work your way up. Adding just a few little items a day can get you to have that emergency kit together. And again, make a plan and make sure you have contacts and that they know that they are your contact.